Chapter 14. Now 3 days afterward, Demetrius took the men with him, and they traversed the 7-stadia-long dam across the sea toward the island, and crossed the bridge, and went into the northern districts. There, he gathered them in a house, which had been duly furnished near the beach. It was a distinguished building, and in a secluded situation. He invited the men to carry out the work of translation. Everything they would need was handsomely provided. Now they set to completing their several tasks, reaching agreement among themselves on each by comparing versions. Now this was how the result of their agreement was made into a suitable copy by Demetrius. And indeed, their session lasted until the 9th hour. But after this, they were released for the care of their bodies. Everything they desired was furnished for them on a lavish scale. But even apart from all this, Dorotheos also provided for them the same preparations as were made for the king himself, for this was an order which he had received from the king. Now daily, in the early morning, they attended the court, and after making their salutations to the king, they retired to their own region. Now following the custom of all the Judeans, they washed their hands in the sea as they prayed to God. Then, they devoted themselves to the reading and the translation of each passage. Now I also ask this question, what is their purpose in washing their hands before praying? Now they explained that it is evidence that they have done no evil, for all activity is done by means of the hands. This is how they beautifully and sacredly refer everything to the righteousness and the truth. Now, as we have previously stated, they met together daily in their region, which was pleasantly situated for its calmness and brightness, proceeding to fulfill their prescribed task. But the outcome was such that in 72 days, the translation work was completed, as if such a result was achieved by some predetermination. But when it was completed, Demetrius gathered together the multitude of the Judeans in the region where the translation had also been finished. He read it publicly to everyone, and in the presence of the translators, who also received a great reception from the multitude, because of the great good things which they had conferred upon them. But they also bestowed warm praise upon Demetrius, beseeching him, now that he had transcribed the whole law, to present a copy to their leaders. Now after the scrolls had been recognized, the priests stood up, along with the elders from among the translators and from the representatives of the body of citizens, and with the leaders of the multitude, speaking,
"Since this version has been made rightly and reverently and in every respect accurately, it is good that this should remain exactly as it is and that there should be no revision."
Now after everyone approved of what they stated, they directed that a curse should be pronounced, as was their custom, on anyone who should revise it by any addition, or by change to any part of the written text, or by any deletion either. This was a very beautiful precaution, to ensure that the words be preserved unchanged for all the future time. Now when the events were also reported to the king, he rejoiced greatly, for it seemed that the purpose which he shared had been safely accomplished. Now the entire version was also read by him, and he marveled profoundly at the mind of the lawgiver. And he spoke to Demetrius,
"How is it that none of the historians or poets have ever thought it was worth their while to allude to such a wonderful work?"
Now he declared,
"Because the legislation is solemn and of divine origin, and because some of those who made the attempt were struck by God, they refrained from their design."
For he said that he even heard Theopompos declare that, at the very moment when he was about to quote in his history some of the previously translated passages from the law, but in a misleading way, he was seized by a disorder in his mind for more than 30 days. But at its abatement, he propitiated God to make clear to him why this misfortune had befallen him. But it was indicated to him in a dream that it was because, in his meddling, he wished to disclose the things of God to common men. But when he ceased, he recovered. But I have also received a report from Theodectos, the tragic poet, that when he was about to include in his drama a passage from what is publicly written in the book, he was afflicted with a cataract of the eyes. And he suspected that this was why the affliction had befallen him. So, after he propitiated God for many days, he recovered. Now when the king had received Demetrius's account on these matters, as I previously told, he bowed down, directing for great care to be taken of the books and to keep them pure. But he also invited the translators to visit him often after their return to Judah.
"For it was only right,"
he spoke,
"that they should now be sent home."
But when they returned, he would, as was proper, treat them as friends, and they would receive the greatest gifts from him. Now, he directed preparations to be made for their departure, and treated the men magnificently. For he presented to each one 3 robes of the finest materials, and 2 talents of gold, and a small cup worth a talent, and all the furnishings for a set of 3 couches. But he also sent to Eleazar, along with their luggage, 10 silver-footed couches and all their necessary accessories, and a small cup worth 30 talents, and 10 robes, and purple cloth, and a distinguished crown, and 100 pieces of finest linen, and bowls, and dishes, and 2 golden cups for a votive offering. But he also wrote an invitation, stating that if any of the men desired to return to him, there would be no impediment, for he counted it a great privilege to enjoy the society of such educated men. And he would rather invest his wealth generously in such men and not on vanities. Now there you have my narrative, Philocrates, as I announced. For I think that these matters will delight you more than the books of the mythologists. For you are devoted to the study of those things which are able to benefit the mind, and to them you devote the greater time. But I will also attempt to write down the remainder of what is worthwhile, in order that, in going through it, you may achieve the very beautiful reward of your purpose.